This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
I just want to begin by saying, Gertie Abrera, I am so excited to Gertify the podcast with you today because truly, you emerged from this season of The Real Housewives of Miami as such a hero, such a queen. It was such a banner year for you. You had the first chair next to Andy at the reunion. I mean, how are you feeling now that it's all coming to a close? There are so many ups and downs in your journey this year.
Yes. So that first seat, trust me, was not, I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it in a sense, but obviously this story was a big one and it affected many, many people. Obviously, you know, 1 in 3 people will have cancer, unfortunately. So it resonated with so many people that obviously it became a bigger story. And on top of that, it became storylined because of the relationships within the group and, you know, the loss in translation as far as what my cancer was, what the confidentiality of it I wanted to, you know, have kept, et cetera, et cetera. So unfortunately, it became a storyline, but this is actually my true life and my story. So yeah, it was not the intent.
What yeah. I think is so amazing is you've been counting the people who have reached out to you to say, yes. Girl, you saved my 300?
Okay, but that was filmed in January. It's more than that now. It's like probably like, I think 340 something. So I've been trying to count. I know there's more than that because not everyone's reaching out to me. But this is people who have watched the show, never went for a mammogram before and were due to do one. But a lot of people are scared to get one, went to get one, received a positive in the sense of they got, you know, some kind of cancer, tumor, et cetera, and now are being proactive in, you know, treating it. So that's like saving actual lives. And that's why I regret nothing that I did for the show, because the timing was just right in the sense of like from beginning to end, as far as the telling of this story. And literally the last episode was me going into chemo. I never thought that was going to even be aired, but the way the timeline was as if God said, you are going to share this to save lives. And I had no other choice but to really kind of listen to that message and activate. So, yeah.
Yeah, I truly think there is not a more powerful scene in Housewives history than you and Russell shaving your hair together. And then, you know, at the end, we see you sit in the chair. You say, I'm ready. And you're sitting in your power with your gorgeous shaved head. What happened in between the emotional moment of shaving your hair off and then getting in that chair and saying, I'm ready?
Well, I didn't even know that we were kind of filming that sitting down scene like that. So they kind of got me in a sense of getting that raw, like I'm just sitting there and I'm like, okay, Gertie, you got this. Take 3 breaths. Okay, earrings on point. I'm ready. And the way it edited, I guess, came out with such power. And you know, the production, I have to give them kudos because they really stepped back and just let me have my raw moments without stepping in at all. So everything that you see is truly raw and real. The shaving of the head scene, to be honest, when you see me looking back at the hair and you just, it's this surreal moment because I know we're filming, but they're so silent that I feel like this is like this spotlight literally on me. And I'm like, I can't do this. And when you see me looking back, I don't know if you've noticed, but I want to walk away and stop. But then Russell says, you actually look really pretty. And the way he said it, it wasn't about my beauty, like my outer beauty. It was about me knowing that this was real. Shaving my head symbolized cancer is real and we're getting into battle mode. So I shaved my head for a purpose, not for beauty. And so some people are like, oh, why is she crying because she shaved her head? She looks beautiful. It's not about the hair. It's about the battle, you know, at hand.
Yeah. Was it kind of a relief to begin chemo and really go to battle as cameras were winding down? And then, you know, several months later, you can be at BravoCon saying, now I'm in remission. I'm sure it was probably a blessing in a way that the timeline.
Yes. Listen, the only reason why I shared it is because I was in stage 4 and, you know, with the worst type of breast cancer type that there was. I was stage 1B. And though it's stage 1B, I still had a big scare on day 1 of chemo where I had an allergy to the chemo and it literally gave me 2 blood clots and burned my entire vein. So you don't understand until you understand that chemo of any sort is a big thing and it could affect you in any way. Anyone can die from chemo side effects, you know? So I'm just glad that I was able to beat it, because obviously imagine sharing this story and it not ending the way we would wish. That would not have been obviously the way, you know, I would have wanted to have, you know, experience this whole thing and have the viewers experience it. So the good news is that there's a nice curve up on the up and up where I'm able to say to people, I beat it, go get checked, you can do it too. So the ending was, it was a happy ending.
Yeah, and I also think that watching your story on the show and the way it played out in regard to the relationships with your fellow cast members, I think it was kind of like a nice reminder at how sacred information like this is. And, you know, it's not yours to share with people who are not your girls. It was also very interesting to see at the reunion on during part two, when Lisa was almost trying to have like a competition with you. And I thought it was very powerful when you said, yeah, but at least like your kids are alive and healthy. What is your takeaway from that moment with Lisa? And do you feel like you guys are in a better place? Do you feel like she gets it yet?
I don't know. If you watch back all of my scenes with Lisa, or in where Lisa's sharing about Lenny, all you see me say is, oh my God, whatever you want, are you okay? And I am on her team, but like for real, I'm supportive of her verbally and actively. And the opposite can be said with how she handled my news, and also the way that she handled me and with the Larsa situation. You know, I think that her perspective was, well, Larsa, you know, to fight for Larsa versus to say, Gertie, how did it make you feel? I can understand how they made you feel, versus trying to be a spokesperson for Larsa. So for me, it was very frustrating to look at her and just be like, why are you following me out the door, yelling at me when you know I'm going into chemo tomorrow and I'm stressed and I'm trying to like decompress the situation, and you're looking at me like I'm the culprit? And I just didn't understand how she handled it, versus her saying to Larsa, Larsa, you be quiet. Larsa, stand down. Look what she's going through, and try to be more of a in between than just be full force soldier for Larsa. So to me, that was a very different way of friending that I saw in her. And yeah, I'm processing it, you know, and that's that. And I'm sure that we'll have a nice talk one day. And right now it's just, you know, everyone's in their feelings, especially watching it back at the reunion. So, you know, me calling her mascot at that moment, I'm like, is she really now telling me, but Larsa was so sad and she was so hurt. And I'm just kind of like, what about me? Like, what about me? I think I need a good friend right now, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, Lisa's like, what about the lip gloss? I lost my lip. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes I'm just like, girl, like, come on. Another person where I'm a little bit like, girl, come on, obviously is Larsa Pippen. It seems like there is something she still isn't understanding about what she did. I mean, her argument was, my understanding was that I wasn't going to take it to social media, but never once did you mention social media. So what is your, I guess, you know, reflection on her, I guess, excuse?
Well, you know, I actually have to hold that information for a second, just because, you know, the reunion part three is airing tomorrow. And so I think that you'll see how we try to go and talk about the kinks of that misunderstanding, so forth. At the end of the day, truly, truly, do I think that she maliciously ran away and said, I'm going to make a plan to blow up her spot and to really her cancer? I don't think so. And so that's what I have to hold on to for hope with our friendship. And so you'll see from part three how we try to resolve that, you know, what she does, you know, and say to me about that situation. So we get into more of the details of it, and you'll have to see how we try to potentially come to a resolution at the reunion.
So it seems like there maybe is hope to repair the friendship on your end. You seem like in a pretty like even keeled
place. I just can't hold negativity in me anymore. So I'm not saying that everything's perfect. I'm not saying that we made up at the reunion at all. You have to watch to see that. I'm just saying that right now, today, I have to compartmentalize that situation because it's so far behind me and I'm healthy. So the way I preach to Lisa, I got to preach to myself. I'm healthy, I'm alive, so I got to make it count and not hold my calendar and dates and times and hold it for the next, you know, battle. I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, okay? I plan parties for a living. This is what I do. I celebrate life, and I want to continue to do so.
Yeah. Well, I did love that, you know, when you did have to confront Larsa at the reunion, it seemed like you really had teammates in Alexia and Julia who were sitting right by you on the couch. And that's interesting to me because Alexia and Julia have historically not gotten along until this season. And then you and Alexia have previously clashed. So I love this like trifecta of powerful girls. What did it
Yeah.
feel like to have their support and all that?
Trust me, you see me looking over at her like, okay, girl, like, we're seeing each other literally at the reunion. So there's a new dynamic that you literally see live at the reunion between Alexia and I, and she kind of gets my shtick where I'm trying to expose some of the lies, exposing how some people are not being truthful, and then mask it with some, words to kind of create a new visual or understanding of something, and we're not buying it. So Alexia and I weren't buying the BS, and we were calling it out as we saw it. And I just like that, it was my first time seeing her step out of the congregation, the OG congregation, to just be like, I'm just gonna tell the truth. I'm sorry, and it is what it is. And that's what this group needs to do. We need to start holding each other accountable, stop taking teams and acting like we can't say anything because we're on this team or that team. Nicole and I don't operate that way. And that's why our friendship works, because I told her I'm having lunch with Alexia in a couple of days. And she understands that her and Alexia may not be in the same place, but she's not holding me hostage to her friendship because I'm experiencing a new one with Alexia. So, we're all adults. We're able to see people for who they are from our eyes. And how we all gel together is another dynamic,
I am curious to get your take on the Larsa versus Alexia situation where, you know, Alexia believes that Larsa threatened to tell the media about people allegedly doing drugs at her wedding party. Do you think that Larsa had that intention? Do you think that conversation, because they're one girl saying this, one girl saying that, then they're fighting backstage and you're like making fun of them. Oh my, that moment was so
Oh my God. Yes. Now, the thing is this. It's the fact that do I think Larsa literally, and I don't know, makes a call and say, she insinuates that she could. So saying, I could do this, but I wouldn't because I'm your friend, so you need to have my back. It's a quid pro quo at the end of the day. So what are you asking me to do? Not say anything because you could say this about someone, something, or someone. And by the way, obviously the girls in the bathroom, it wasn't me, obviously, it wasn't Nicole and so forth. Because me and Nicole were like, okay, we're taking drug tests tomorrow because we don't want any part of this disgusting rumor. But the threat of it and whoever's maybe doing that, I don't know who she's talking about, but like the fact that she would even bring that up, it's kind of like, so you could, but you say you wouldn't, but you should, but you wouldn't. So they're playing on words, and it just insinuates that things could go down in a bad way if people don't act the way they're supposed to on her behalf. And that's the game I've been trying to expose. And finally, Alexis like, you know what? I'm going to say the truth. So next season, hopefully, we're going to have people just kind of calling it out right on the spot as it is, versus kind of be like suppressed and, scared off because of rumors and or fake lies. You know what I mean? That's what we're trying to, I think, make right,
Do you know who was kind of exposed at the reunion? Was Marcus backstage talking about y'all can't even do the dishes at their house. It was not nice, but I'm still trying to like understand what he was trying to say. What is your interpretation of his insult? What was your reaction when you heard it?
Well, if the benchmark for us to even step into his house is to do the dishes, that says a lot, for example, right? So it's kind of like you're not good enough to even do the dishes. So listen, my mother was a nurse. My father drove taxis. I am proud of the blue collar, roasted as a firefighter. Kudos to the people who work hard every single day and work for their money. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So you know what? He's a lucky person that he had a nice lifestyle from, birth. And some people didn't. I didn't. I worked my ass off since I was 13 years old, and I am proud sitting in my seat and earning my spot as a Real Housewives of Miami. And all the coins that I made is on my back. So that's all I have to say about that.
Julia was telling me that after she saw that moment, it really made her think and feel differently about Marcus. Has your opinion changed about him? Because he was so like nice and gregarious and pleasant with the women throughout the season. And then so to see him kind of flip a switch in a sense, very jarring as a viewer.
Yeah, well, listen, some people say things that they may not mean when they're heated. People may say some things that they don't mean when they're a little tipsy. So, backstage, obviously, they're chilling, they're hanging out, they were drinking Larsa's what is it? tequila. So, you know, maybe he was just like a little loose and just had a loose lip moment. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, which I ask people to give me just in case, you know, I'm reading it wrong. But it was not a nice thing to say, obviously. And I think an apology would be in order in the future.
Yeah. Now I do need to get your reaction to their brief breakup. That, I mean, that really gave the whole Bravo community whiplash. They weren't together, then they were back together. Then she's wearing a white dress and flashing a ring for the paparazzi. It was a lot to process.
Yes.
Any more thoughts on the saga that played out?
I don't know, my friend. I was actually doing a post for Pfizer on breast cancer awareness during Super Bowl, during that halftime show. So I was busy on my social media doing my paid brand partnership, honey. Coins.
And that's that on that. Do you think, though, that they have what it takes to last? Speaking from someone who has been with their high school sweetheart, like literally 30, you know what I mean? Like, you know what it takes.
Yes. I mean, listen, it's hard out here for a pimp, it looks like, right? So that's what they say. I feel bad for people who are now dating in this world with Instagram and everyone's trying to be, you know, like all over the place. I'm so thankful for Russell, who hates social media. Thank you. And just humble and just so low key and simple. We're simple people. That's the way I like it. And you know what? It's going to take a lot to keep that same level of intimacy, of commitment for 30 years, you know, and Larson knows what it takes because she was married for a long time. So I think that she has the experience to help him out in creating this battle, you know, balanced relationship, hopefully. So yeah, you know, best of luck to them.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you are in such a great mental space in terms of like your health, your relationships with the women, moving forward with the women who you have clashed with. And this is all happening as you just had another procedure. You were telling me that you had a hysterectomy last week. How did that go? Why did you have it? How does this fit into your health journey? What would you like to share with the people who are now looking to you for health guidance?
Absolutely. Yeah, it fits into my health journey as a post-treatment option to suppress my estrogen. So the type of cancer that I had was estrogen receptor, meaning I produced too much estrogen and it created this type of breast cancer, which is a mutation. It is not even genetic. So, you know, I looked inside at myself. I'm like, what am I drinking? The water I drink matters to me more than ever now. And I've actually invested now, and I'm a shareholder in a company called Miami Alkaline Water, where we are drinking hydrogen alkaline water. So that is the top level, best, you know, water in the world. And my whole house now is systemed as an alkaline, you know, household. And so, you know, the hysterectomy came because it was one of the ways to prevent, you know, high production of the estrogen. So that's why we did it. And plus I had 3 fibroids, which I, you know, are painful. So we got rid of the fibroids, we got rid of the ovaries, we got rid of the uterus. So you know what? I actually like it because now I can enjoy all 30 days of the month, if you know what I mean. And so will Russell. though he needs to wait 8 weeks. I got 8 weeks of healing before Russell can, you know. So we're getting creative in other ways, if you know what I mean. You got to keep it alive. Mm-hmm. Oh, you get the exclusive.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know you guys like to keep it spicy. It's so crazy, Gertie, like thinking about the time from when you and Russell did our Valentine's Day live show up until now. It's like the relationship with Russell has only, you know, blossomed more.
Of course. So
a month later, you would get your diagnosis. And then here we are, you have beat cancer. It's just like so insane.
Full circle.
It's so crazy. And then also, the Larsa drama happened because of a stupid question that me and Danny asked.
Full circle, Page Six, full circle. Okay. So I want to thank Page Six for bringing me here today. And can you imagine? I can't believe it. Who would have thought that little tiny game, it was like, who's the fakest of them all? And all I said was her name, because we talk about fake S, E-S-T. I got boobs done, that's fake. Of course, everybody's got something fake about them, but we talk about the fake S. So me saying somebody's name, if I said Alexia, do you think we would have had this whole drama all season long? Of course not. But that's the pettiness of it all, you know? Yeah.
I feel like the word fake is a trigger word for Larsa, because for so many years, people have been talking about her butt and her plastic surgery. And that obviously comes up on part 3 of the reunion, which I do kind of love how everyone just kind of like took the gloves off, and especially Julia. She's like, girl, your butt is fake. I mean, what are your thoughts on, I guess, just like everyone saying like Larsa like is trying to beat Kardashian and got all this plastic surgery. Like, obviously people in Miami, people in the Real Housewives, everyone has plastic surgery. Like, why do you think she's so insecure about what she has potentially gotten done?
Right. I think that is just maybe frustrating for her to have to repeat the same saga day in and day out and so forth, you know. So, you know, and not everyone maybe want to be transparent about all the details. And that's okay, too. It's just that, you know, visually we can see the differences. Right. So I think that we're, you know, we call it as we see it in a way. But, you know, I think that once things get muddy and there's arguments, it's an easy go-to, you know what I mean, to be like, girl, like, you know, stop, you know. So I think it is triggering to her, and she did admit at the reunion that she is a sensitive person, and I see that with her, and I'm sensitive too. So when we argue, we both get sensitive, and it goes into a bad place. So, you know, moving forward though, I just hope that she's able to embrace other people's full perspective and also be a better listener, so that we can be able to kind of understand each other on a whole other level where it doesn't have to get ugly in a flash, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking of being a good listener and perspective, I don't think we got too much of your perspective about the situation in season. So I'm hoping that maybe during part three, we'll hear a little bit more from you. But this whole situation between Kiki and Lisa and throwing food to the dogs, and, you know, obviously Kiki's upbringing in Haiti was a big part of that. You are also Haitian. So, I mean, where do you land in the Kiki versus Lisa in that situation? Do you think that Lisa, you know, I as a viewer, I don't think she intentionally meant to hurt Kiki, but I also don't think that she gave Kiki the space to understand what Kiki was upset about.
What did I talk about? I talked about safe space. When someone gives you a safe space to share, you're able to. But the minute the person says, I'm not your therapist, or don't start crying, or, you know, like, just all those little trigger words really, like, push people to a different level. And so Kiki, I think, was trying to make her understand that for her, seeing her throw food and saying, that's the best they're ever going to get. And if the best is throwing food at them as if they're, like, you know, dirt, it didn't come off right. So it triggered Kiki, obviously, because of her childhood. And I think that she wasn't given that safe space to share properly, fully. And I think that hopefully Lisa understood that and can now maybe move a little bit different. You know what I mean? So it's not about listening. I think that our group have a hard time listening because our egos are getting in the way, and we want to be right, and we want to have the last word. And that's really what it's all about. And you know, it's just something that we have to work on, obviously. So, you know, my relationship with Russell is not perfect because we probably do the same type of arguing too. But at least if the bottom line is that you want to make it right and you want to come to an agreement, that's the key to hold in a sense of bringing people to the table and saying, okay, say what you got to say. Well, I didn't mean it because I meant this way. Okay, you good? I'm good. I didn't mean it. Sorry. Move on. So, like, you know, I may take a course in therapy and become the group therapist next season. Who knows? I'm kidding.
Well, I feel like you need to be everyone's accountability coach, because I think that one thing that you're really good at, Gertie, is accountability. And that was very evident when Lisa was talking about what she felt like was an ambush, when everyone was like asking questions about Jody and Lenny and finances and stuff. And you did. You asked.
I was like, mea culpa. I said, my bad. You're right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. What do you make of Lisa's relationship with Jody? Do you feel like she's relying too heavily on him? I mean, the thing that scares me is the like half and half condo payment. Like, I just feel like the rug could be pulled out from under her feet at any moment. And I'm just like worried for her. I want the best for her.
We all want the best for her. We're still worried for her. But at the end of the day, she's a big girl, and she's doing her thing and her decision for herself. As you can see, she does not want us to pry. We're no longer prying. So whatever comes, which hopefully are amazing things, great news. And hopefully her and Jody walk down the aisle together and live happily ever after. That's what we all want. And that's what we wish for her, of course. But, you know, I want to be a better friend to her. And I don't think she's letting me in as one. So right now I'm dealing with my own thing. And I'm stepping back just because of the way I felt I was treated, you know, with her this season. And if things go to a better place, they do. And if things are just kind of like, you know, neutral, that's fine. I can coexist with anybody. I'm a very big girl, honestly. And I've been through a lot in my life, and I don't feel threatened by environments of people who don't like me, the whole thing. It is what it is. It ain't what it ain't. And I'm good with anything, you know?
How does the experience of surviving something like cancer sort of impact your outlook on filming a reality show moving forward? Does it change your perspective in that way?
Yes, 100%. I'm not taking people's bullshit. And you see it at the reunion. Because, look, you know, I think that, you know, part of it is editing. I think that made me seem so like, oh, sweet Gertie. And I'm very nice. I'm very nice and giving to a fault. But I'm a Capricorn. And once I go over that threshold, it's over. So you see me at the reunion getting like, you still don't get it. Wow, baby Jesus, please. Like someone, please help me. This is like, and then you see me just go wild. My vein right here, this one right here, starts popping at the reunion part three. So what you're going to see tomorrow is a little bit of like, damn, Gertie, hold your horses. But I've just been giving grace so much. And it comes to the point where we're at the finale. We're at the end. And you still don't get it. And that's where you see me just kind of like, let it go. You know what I mean? And then, you know, at the end, you'll see how, you know, we proceed. But it's just a lot. And so you see a different side of Gertie. And I'm going to probably be that kind of girl where if it doesn't suit me, I ain't doing it. And I'm going to call it out. I'm not holding things in anymore because that's what gets you maybe sick or stressed, etc. So when you see me now lashing out and saying how I feel, it's not like, calm down, you have cancer, sit down. No, it's kind of like, not for a moment. Let her de-stress and release what no longer serves her. It's actually therapy in the making. So let me do what I got to do. Okay.
Yeah, I love that. Another thing that I did love this season is seeing you and Kiki. I feel like you formed a stronger friendship, and I think that was definitely rooted in your like Haitian culture. And it makes me think, I don't know if you're keeping up with the Real Housewives of Potomac, but
okay, yes.
So Wendy and Nneka are both Nigerian queens, but they're clashing over their culture. Do you have any advice for them as they sort of, I guess, like, feud over being the number one Nigerian girl in the group?
It's not even about that because, you know, once you get the families involved and apparently in their culture, this, whatever they call that word about your Uzu or whatever that word is, like, it's considered like no one messes with you. So the implication on national TV that the entire legacy, the entire family tree is no good. How do you come on a show and start with that kind of drama with someone who's been established on the show as the first Nigerian on Potomac? So I think that both need to understand that drop the egos because this is now bigger than both of you. It's literally you're representing a complete community and everyone in the community is hiding. Like, I don't know them because you guys are embarrassing them. And unfortunately, I just think that Nneka, I saw the episode, she did try to come and say sorry, the whole thing. Maybe Wendy's not willing to receive it just yet because it's affecting not only her, it's a trickle-down effect to the mom, the family, the husband, the kids, and generation upon generation. This is a big deal, apparently. So I don't know anything about their culture and that whole thing with that, but from what I saw, it's kind of like you are shunned, no one messes with you, and no one wants to do business. So it's financial, it's all these implications that it affects. So you got to understand a little bit of what he's going through. So when viewers are like, just forget it, get over it, you can't rush forgiving and hurt, you know? So I understand that, but obviously eventually she's going to have to really come to the center and Nneka needs to just publicly say, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, this is what we came to an understanding. Whatever I thought was happening to my family is not happening. It's a lot of hurt on both sides because Nneka thought that she was putting her into a shrine and trying to do magic on her. So I understand Nneka's concern bringing it on TV as your first storyline instead of making the storyline about here's who I am, here's what we do. That just kind of fell short, I think, on her being a solid, you know, piece to the Potomac puzzle. Sorry for rambling.
No, I appreciate it. I think that's a great outlook on that situation. Now, speaking of storyline, though, I feel like Kiki has so much storyline in her. I want her to get her mojito. Like, I didn't even know until recently that she had like that she was a mom. Like, she has
two kids. And I think that I don't know. And maybe Kiki wasn't ready to share in the beginning. Who knows? But I think that now she's in a sweet, comfortable spot, and it's kind of like this thing where we're all like, okay, let's make this happen type of thing, you know? So even Andy, I think she's gonna watch what happens. And he's like, hey, everyone's asking for your mojito. He said mazel tov, so who knows, right? Who knows what that means? So listen, I think that she should. I think she's earned it. I think that we all earned it, honestly, as a you know, group cast. And I love it. I want to be nothing but more than having, you know, having her as my sister on the show would be so amazing. So I love that. And the two of us are so good. And again, we all had our different tribes in the beginning. So she was with Larsa and the other girls, and I was like with, you know, Nicole. And now all that is crumbling in the best way. So we're all kind of meshing together. But her and I never had an issue at all. But now I think we just kind of came together specifically based on our roots, and also because of the dynamics of the group as well. So it's going to be really good fun, fashion, fabulosity, and queens.
You think that, I mean, because it's such a large cast with the friends of, who honestly do act like mojito holders, you know, like they film and they participate as if they're full time. Right. Do you think that the cast needs anyone new? Are you, because all so many casts within the Bravo world are getting shakeups. Do you think Miami is in need of a
show? I don't know.
I think it's perfect.
The fans are saying, keep it as it is, perfect. And they just keep giving kudos to whoever casted us, saying like across the board, 10s and out of 10 out of 10. And that's a testament. I mean, just for the chemistry that you can't recreate this chemistry that we have. And we just gel in, you know, in the best and worst way, I guess, which keeps it entertaining. So for me, I think that we're great as we are, but honestly, bring it, whatever you got, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Well, it's clear that you love being a part of the Housewives community and the Bravoverse at large. So, Gertie, before we wrap up, I know you had some very sweet things to say about Andy, as some girls
who yeah.
are former Housewives are saying some not so sweet things about Andy. Talk to me about your relationship with Andy and your reaction to all of these sort of, you know, very like explosive allegations.
Yeah. Listen, their story is their story. My stories and my experience is my experience, right? So I'm not negating what they're saying. I'm not saying you're, you know, because, you know, what happened to the Me Too movement, people, you know, like try to suppress these ladies and then they come out with all this stuff. So all I'm saying for me, I had nothing but the most amazing and really organic relationship with Andy and anyone at Bravo, from the PR team to the executives who have called me personally, checked on me, sent me flowers, just overall. And this is aside from my cancer, from the beginning, they were always literally so connected and connected to my story and wanting me to share and do all this stuff. And I don't see it at all as far as, you know, what they're experiencing with Andy. Unfortunately, I just feel that it's so sad that this is happening. But Andy is our big papa, you know, and he's earned it. It's not just saying like, you know, he's because he's a big boss and everyone's kissing ass. I'm not kissing ass. I'm telling you the truth that for me and many of my counterparts, we are so happy to be part of this Bravo family. So, you know, that's what I have to say about it.
Yeah, and it's like the number of housewives who have come out to speak in support of Andy, I feel like definitely
it speaks volume.
Yeah. And then also I was chatting with Melissa Gorga and also Richards, mm-hmm. two girls who have been part of the Bravoverse for such a long time. So it was interesting to hear their perspective, because if anything was going on, you know, they would know.
Oh, for sure. And that would have been affected in many ways, of course. I mean, how could you film for so many years, Cal for 13, 14 years or whatever it is, and be in a toxic environment type of thing? And by the way, I've never done cocaine in my life, but listen, it's like, do you want to smoke? Do you want a cigarette? Do you want you know, alcoholic drink? You have the right to say no, right? So, you know, whatever their thing is, if it's literally just like, he asked me if I wanted this or that, and they're making it into a bigger issue as if it affected their livelihood or their, you know, their whatever it is. I just feel that, you know, it's an optional circumstance. So no one was put in the corner to like be forced to do anything. So to me, I've never been offered anything except for hospitality and really honestly great graciousness from him. So, yeah.
Amazing. Well, Gertie, I won't take up too much of your time, but before the next season of Miami begins filming, what are you looking forward to doing with your time off with the camp? I love that you're about to meet Dr. Nicole for lunch, proving that
but you know why? So what we're working on right now is her baby shower, which is taking place in a week and a half. So we're doing an online series capturing my planning of the shower with her and bringing it into fruition, to actually showing it on the day of, teasing and asking the audience, baby naming reveal, you know, guessing games and so forth. So we want to play with our fans. Our fans are very connected to me and Nicole, and the two of us, we were like this. So we just love being together, and we're just kind of gonna plan this baby shower and help have the fans help us. So it's gonna be really fun.
I love that. Oh, you guys really are a dynamic duo. If Sonia and Luann ever want to give up their roles on Crappy Lake, I would love to see you and Dr. Nicole do something like that. That would be so fun.
But listen, now you get to see us really together, because I feel like on the show, we're together, but then it's kind of like you don't see like really fully from A through Z. So this is us, just the two of us doing our thing together. You see the dynamic, and it's going to be so much fun. And, you know, my water as well. So Miami Alkaline Water is my amazing baby right now. I'm really like working hard on that. And I'm getting back to the event world. So you'll have to stand by and hear more news on that. But it's going to be fabulous. And hopefully next season I get to share some amazing parties.
Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Gertie. It's always a joy to catch up with you. And I'll see you this weekend at the Direct.
I will see you, darling. I'll text you. Maybe we can get together at some, you know, in between those events. We'll see.